change my heart, change my soul. Now I know I need you so, Papa God. Oh, Papa God, you saved me of my old life. You forgave me. You've cleansed and made me whole. You touch my heart, change my soul.
It's good to be in the house of God this morning, isn't it? How many of you enjoyed church here last night? You appreciate the word of the Lord? It's camp meeting time. It's Bible school time too, but now we've been in camp meeting here a long time. We just stay in camp meeting, don't we? Turn around and shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God on Sunday morning. What a privilege it is to be in church. Play it one more time, guys.
Thank you.
Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. My goodness gracious. Somebody say praise the Lord. Say it one more time just to let the devil know you believe it this morning. Praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. Hallelujah. You remember this. Everywhere Jesus was, they was some racket. Wasn't all good, but they was still racket. There was a lot of noise going on. We have come to this place to make some noise. Not so much to, if, let me put it like this. Lord, if you want us to, we'll do whatever you want us to do. But we're not here to do anything that he don't want us to do. Now, whatever he wants you to do, let's be obedient to him. How many of you appreciate what we heard here last night? Wasn't it wonderful? Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't like funeral church services. Now, funerals are one thing, but a church service is not supposed to be a funeral service. There's enough of that going on in the Tri-Cities this morning. The pastor would get up, and if somebody said amen, they'd probably show them where the front door was. If somebody shouted, the rescue squad would be there in minutes. But I'm going to tell you something. We have come to worship a risen Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody that was a god or worshipped as a god is dead and still in the tomb, except ours. The Lord Jesus, when they went to examine, the stone had been rolled away. Now let's roll the stones away from our heart this morning. Let him out. Let him have his way in this service today. Somebody say, I'll do it. Somebody say, I mean it. Give him one more hand clap of praise this morning. Oh, Papa God. Oh, you've saved me from my old life. Sing it like you believe it. Oh, you've touched my heart. You've changed my soul. I know I need you so, Papa God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We've got just a few prayer requests this morning. We're going to let you just stand while we do this. Sister Tamika Brown wants us to remember a Sister Hope Idahan. I hope I got that name close to right. She asked for prayer for her sister who is being tormented by nightmares. So let's remember her today as we pray. We want to pray for Brother Gary Hall, admitted to the hospital last night. Heart problems. We want to remember him as we pray. Sister Michelle Swafford wants us to remember her grandmother, May Manuel. The doctors say that her heart is hardening. There's not anything they can do, but I believe God can heal her heart. So please remember her in your prayer. So we just commit those needs unto the Lord. We'll remember Sister Sharon, Brother Rocky Ward this morning in her prayers. Sister Sharon, the Lord will just give her healing in her body. May she be able to receive that. Pray for Brother Rocky as he is just tirelessly working as her caregiver and got some good help here in the church that's doing that with him. So let's pray for that family that the Lord would just be mindful of them. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about today. Brother Charlie's going to come. Brother Keith, help him up these steps right here. He's going to lead us to the Lord. He said, just stay where you're at, Keith. He's going to lead us to the Lord in prayer. Certainly appreciate Brother Charlie and Sister Chevy, don't we? Amen. This guy's been through a lot. He took a terrible fall here just a while back, but I picked up last night. He's on the mend, aren't you, buddy? Let's give him a nice hand this morning. We love you, Brother Charlie. Appreciate you, buddy.
You know, Psalm 30 of the Word of God says, Oh my God, I cried unto thee, and thou healed me. Now, I feel a little dizzy once in a while. I can't drive and all that, but I believe I'm healed. And you just have to accept it as it is. Let's pray, please. Precious Heavenly Father, we are living in an evil world, Father. But joyfully, we anticipate your coming for us whom you have predestinated to be with you for an eternity, Father. We believe that, Lord, and we thank you for it. Lord, you heard the needs of my brothers and sisters who are sick or need some other help, Father. Lord, touch them. Touch my son, Danny, Father. Make him well, Father. Touch my brothers, my sisters. I thank you for healing my brother, Reese, Father. Touch each and every one, Father. Whatever they need is, Father, we depend on you for their healing, Father. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to your word, to give you glory and honor in these temples of flesh. For we await your coming joyfully, Father. We look for that day. We anticipate that day. And we look forward to it. For your glory and honor, we ask these things, Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we ask it and we thank you, Lord. Bless us now with your precious word, Father. Give us more revelation, more understanding of your word. Help us to live it, Father, to give you glory and honor in these temples of flesh. We thank you for it, Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we ask it, and we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Charlie. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here today with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Could we do this? Could we say, God bless our streamers? God bless our streamers. Hope this service will be a great blessing to those folks as they stream this service. This announcement, the pavilion will be closed for Vacation Bible School decorating this afternoon. You will not be able to use the pavilion. The ball courts and the restrooms will be open, but the pavilion itself will not be for you to use as they are decorating over there. I reckon Bible school starts tomorrow evening, if I'm right on that. So I know that's going to be a big deal and a lot of things going on. So remember that. The youth banquet, is everybody doing their thing on the youth banquet? We still got good. Everybody's doing right? Okay, young people, just keep it up. God bless you. Let's sing a song this morning that says Psalms 3. He is the lifter up of our head. And don't walk around here thinking that you're walking on cloud nine every day of your life, because you're not. Sometimes there's valleys we go through. But I'm glad for one thing. When I'm in the valley, he's still God. When I'm on the mountain, he's still God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him this morning.
Sing with all your heart, buddy.
Oh, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Yes, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter.
Trouble me. Many are the demon spirits that rise against me. Many there be which sail my soul. There is no help for you in God. I cried unto the Lord with my precious Holy Ghost, sustain me.
Yeah.
that encamp themselves against me round about.
Oh, yes, thou, Lord,
art a shield for me, the glory, the lifter of my head. Thou, Lord, you're a shield for me, the glory and the lifter of my head. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of demons, every evil spirit that rise up against me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of demons that encamp themselves against me round about.
Yes, thou, Lord, you're a shield for me.
You're the glory. You're the lifter of my head. Oh, thou, Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head.
Yes, Lord.
You're the glory and the lifter of my head.
Let's sing this little chorus as Sister Tamika Brown, if you'll come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing. Brother Justin, if you'll come onto the platform, sing after Sister Tamika this morning. But let's sing this little chorus, Our God Reigns. This is an old chorus, you know it by heart, three words, but it's a lot of power in every word. Our God reigns. Look at somebody and say, does yours? Does yours? Our God reigns around here. Somebody say, hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Church, our God reigns. Seated this morning. Give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you.
I can't explain this way I feel. It's hard to convey. This longing in my heart goes beyond what words could say. Tears are trapped inside my soul, though not expressed outside. Yes, there's a cry within me, which I dare not try to hide. I want more, more of you, Lord. I feel the need, my lack of you. That's what I'm crying for. I want more. Saving grace, your love to fill my heart. I will not move till I have more of you. So I'll wait here patiently, my heart's an open door. For you to come, make us one, and bind us closer than before. I confess to you my weaknesses, my indifferences and strife. I draw from you, for Lord, you are the very essence.
Turned my way. He said, it looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense. But that's when she walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case and God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. I was forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there and wondered, how could this be, that someone so guilty had just been set free? My chains were broken. I felt born again that moment when mercy walked in. Oh, mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand was God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. I was forgiven when mercy walked in.
The word of the Lord this morning. I certainly appreciate what we heard here last night. I'll just say this on your behalf and my behalf. We are sheep of this sheepfold. Is that right? If he's made fun of, I am too. If he's ridiculed, I am too. We're together. And we're with him. As he leads us to Christ, we're going together. Are you glad you're part of this assembly? Are you glad you're part of what God's doing? Amen. And I mean that with all of my heart. And if you are just, let me see what would be the right word to use right here. If you're just halfway walking or halfway running, you better get to stepping it up. This train's leaving. This rapture's on us. The catching away is here. How many of you want to go? How many of you determined by God's grace you're going to go? And we're going to get with the word this morning. If Brother Donnie's Buick was sitting right here this morning, and we was going to try to get it up this aisle, not a one of us could push it. But all of us together, we could get it through them doors back yonder. The Holy Ghost will come. We'll pull on the gift of God, and Brother Donnie gets it on. It's untelling what will take place right here today. Are you ready for it? Do you mean it with all your heart? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. The dove leads the lamb, as Brother Donnie cut. Let's sing this with Brother Harry. I'd like to hear him say it.
The dove leads the lamb. Can you put it up there? This thing here has ruined me. I can't remember nothing.
Thank you.
I know it's something. I'm glad I'm. Give me a second to say this. I'm glad I'm part of this message, ain't you? I'm not just following the message, but I'm part of the message. That's why they can't talk me out of it. They didn't talk me into it. The Spirit and the Bride are saying, "Come."
elect a feeling to stir inside our heart. 'Cause our uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. And soon we'll be with our Lord forevermore. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. We're still hearing the shout of our King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads a lamb once again. A fine linen, clean and white, is granted to her. We've been washed in the blood of God's own Son. With righteousness that's not my own, I stand just before His throne. Where I'm gonna reign with my Lord forevermore. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. We're still hearing the shout our King. Token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads a lamb once again. And the dove, he leads a lamb once
the Lord, we can be led today by the Spirit of God. I'm so grateful that darkness has been broken around our lives. I'm sure today if we could look in this building and see the demons that have gathered here, we'd be able to look out into the restaurant that you'd go this afternoon to have your lunch. If you'd be able to, if you stop at Walmart or something like that, see the demons that are hanging around people. The influence that they're under. As mortals, they'd probably scare us to death. But yet, we could also be able to look around and see the angels of God that are encamped about those that fear Him, those that love Him. Amen. As the negative is here, so is the positive. As the darkness is here, so is the light. I'm glad to be identified with light today. I certainly am. Let's turn today, if you would, again to the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 28. Let's take another little journey down the gallery of sovereignty. I'm sure probably if you looked down through the scripture last night with us, if you was like I was, you begin to look at how God chose to send the Holy Ghost, what God chose to do, the way He chose to do it, it's quite surprising, isn't it? Helps us to realize that it's not us in control anyhow. It's Him in control. We'll pick up on this older brother again, and may the Lord help us here today as we do remember the Bible school this week. And Brother Michael wanted me to make this announcement. If your child is in Sister Ray Lee's, Sister Angel, or Sister Kim's class, please come and pick them up at 8:55 from their classroom. The children are too young to be released without their parents present. So if you'd come and just pick those up. Also, during this week, I'll be starting the camp, family camp down in Texas, East Texas, down with Brother Tim. And Brother Ron Spencer will be there, Lord willing, Brother Danny Steeman, Brother Wayne Lawson. And I think maybe some of the saints from the church is going and probably streaming it again. They were last year. So we just look forward to that. Just pray, those of you that can't come, pray the Lord will just be with us and visit us in a mighty way. And it's a great time to be a Christian, isn't it?
Amen.
It certainly is. Let's read together. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this our son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, now this is so important, he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. He is son. He is a son by title. Certainly doesn't understand his position. But yet it's important that we realize not only the prodigal, which represents the spiritual part, was a son, but this elder brother is a son as well. We stand here today in a very complex situation, those of us who have received the Holy Ghost. Sonship has been immersed and daughtership into our souls by the new birth. Yet mortality, we are still clothed so deeply in mortality that no doubt some of you come to church today with sickness and disease, not feeling well, feeling down, discouraged, whatever more. And yet your soul is so intoxicated on the presence of God. You think, how in the world could it be both at the same time? Well, maybe the Lord will help us to look at that today. He said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. May we pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you so much today. We are grateful to be identified with you, Lord Jesus, in this day. We thank you, Lord, that to us you are more than just a book. You are more than a historical figure. We've not gathered here today to worship a God that used to be or used to move, but we've come here to worship a God who still is and who still does what he's always done. And we're grateful today that our experience is being renewed day by day. We are thankful, Heavenly Father, that though we struggle with things on the outside, sickness and disease and whatever more, yet we are renewed constantly by the indwelling of your presence and your Spirit. May you speak to us today, Lord. May we feast upon the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. For this is the reason that we've come here today, into your great presence. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. The purpose of God cannot be understood by mere mortal man. It cannot be fully comprehended by people who are unregenerate. Even people that would try to look at God by an intellectual perspective and learn the meanings of words and try to learn things that even grandma and mama has taught them about God. It is spiritually revealed. And God's own purpose, and God being sovereign in the way that he chooses to do certain things, seems so strange and out of cater to us as human beings. But yet, we know that according to what we're taught in the church age book, that if God did not have purpose and he did not have vision and reason for doing things in a certain way, that it would leave the whole plan in total chaos. So everything that God does is with purpose and with vision. He doesn't have to make that fully known to us, and sometimes he doesn't. He reveals portions and parts of his divine will, and that rest of it we have to take by faith, knowing that he is sovereign and that he will work it out according to his own pleasure. When we look and see that in this story it contains wonderful things, and we know that, as we spoke about when we first looked at this parable has been preached for many, many years. It's been delved into by great theologians and great teachers. And of course, we could never try to compliment anything that's been said other than just to bring it into a light of where we currently are living. That's the thing we love about God and his book, is that God would be able to give a book that would be inspired, so it would be written over a span of 1600 years by 40 different authors, by people coming from different nations, different nationalities, different tongues it was written in. And yet God would be able to blend it all together by these 40 authors, many of them who never even knew one another, many of them who never even spoke to each other, and yet God would be able to inspire it so that it would be in such harmony that there's never been a book written under such consequences and under such events that could ever have such divine continuity, because it is God's book and not a book of men. And God chose to do it that way. Again, it is the sovereign choice of God. When we look at this parable, in it contains great understanding of principles by which God relieves to us the mystery of redemption. The prodigal son entered into the stage thus far of his soul having been reconciled into the Father's divine care. Yet the older brother, still dealing with trying to comprehend such grace that can be given to one that seemingly is so undeserving, of one that is so unworthy. And as we looked at last night, when God chose the pattern or the way by which the new birth would come, He chose the way to humiliate the older brother by the new birth of the younger. And that was that the Holy Ghost would come in a way that would make them appear drunk, that would make them look like maniacs and idiots, according to the way the prophet described it. And He chose to do it in such a way that it was not actually in a way that it would make the flesh rejoice. God chose the means and the pattern of holiness in a way that would not be appealing to the world and to the flesh. God chose that the greatest prophet that has ever been on the face of the earth, and I do not say that shamefacedly or with embarrassment, but God chose to give the greatest message that has ever been to any mortal born of a woman, outside of the birth, of course, of the Lord Jesus, to a man that the majority of Christendom would consider to be, you know, one that didn't even graduate from high school, of one that was illiterate, of a man that did not understand vocabulary, nouns and pronouns and adjectives and so on. And you imagine Brother Branham preaching and the men sitting behind him that were so much more educated, and no doubt they would kind of chuckle and snigger as Brother Branham would say certain things, and they'd feel so sorry for him until the pillar of fire would come down, and then they began to feel sorry for themselves. And you think, why would God choose a man like this to do the great things? Because He is sovereign and He chooses who He wants to. No doubt many of the men who sat behind Him thought, oh, if I could have only had that gift, if I could have had this, and if I could have done that, which is the very reason God never chose them. So God chose a man that never professed to be great, never professed to be a theologian, never professed to be any of that, but there was one thing that he wanted his entire life, and that was to be an instrument and a tool that God could use. No doubt in front of great men, Brother Branham felt embarrassed. In front of great men, he felt humbled, and you can hear him if you listen to his tapes, and if you don't, you should. You can hear him as he'd apologize for his vocabulary. He would apologize for his learning. He would apologize. I don't think that was a show. I don't think Brother Branham was putting that on. I think Brother Branham felt that way. That as a man, he would have felt somewhat embarrassed and somewhat humiliated. But yet God chose him. Aren't you glad he was willing to be embarrassed for the sake of bringing the message? Aren't you glad he was willing to feel humiliated to stand up and speak in front of great men, men that were learned, men that were doctors, men that could correct him on his English and his Aramaic and his Greek and so on, but yet he never let the lack of education ever stop the power of revelation. Oh my, you imagine standing before thousands and thousands of people, that he would feel humiliated, even when Dr. Best wanted to come and challenge him, and Brother Branham would not do it. So he let his camaraderie go down there and be able to stand before him. And when he walked out so humble and so little and so small, now he said, I'm not no healer. I'm not no great man. I'm not this or that. But he said, if he's in question, he said, here he come. Oh, glory. As a man, he knew there was
was no way he could have stood up there and compared to such a theologian by himself. There's no way he could have done, even when he would meet some of the ministers' meetings and he'd call Tommy Hicks or T.L. Osborne, you come with me and say these certain words. Why? He was able to acknowledge that. He was able to acknowledge that there was a lack to me. That's what made him so great. When you and I want to feel like we're so great and we don't do nothing, we don't need no help, we're still small in God's eyes. And that's why God chose to reveal himself in such simplicity. Now, God then expects us, for those of us who've received the revelation of the new birth, to be able to understand that we have been touched and living in two total different worlds under the influence of two total different realms. And that is because the power of the new birth so transforms the gene, and this is why we are regenerated, that it brings that into the very image of God. Now, Adam was not just an attribute of God in the soul, but Adam had complete total sonship as far as the Garden of Eden would allow in his flesh. So you and I yet have never entered into sonship in the flesh, but we will, which is where the older brother is coming into. And Adam, as he moves into the realm of the flesh, of course, Genesis 1:26 tells us, and God said, let us make man in our image. And the word God, of course, is Elohim. And then when it moves over into chapter 2, then the scripture says, and the Lord God. Now God reveals himself when he goes to revealing himself to man in flesh, the embodiment of the promise in dust, then God reveals himself in a furtherance of his name. So he moves from the name God, Elohim, then he moves into the word Lord God, which is Adonai Elohim. So he reveals himself in the name of Adonai Elohim when he goes to putting this man in a body. Now it was God's own choice and it was sovereignly chosen. So the name of God dealing with the soul, God reveals himself as God. When he reveals himself to the flesh of that man, he reveals himself as Adonai Elohim. Now what is that? That is one of the beginnings of the compound redemptive names of God. So he's not just the one who is the Elohim, the mighty, the one who can create, but he divulges a part of his character in the revelation of his name. So he is Adonai, or as the Hebrews wouldn't even pronounce that word because they consider it so sacred. Now we also get from this word the word Jehovah. The word Jehovah is not, of course, in the original, but it is YVHU. But they actually put the vowels in between there in order to make it a pronounceable name. But actually the Hebrews themselves would not pronounce that name because it was so holy. But yet God chose to reveal himself to his son this way. Now whatever it was that Adam had in the Garden of Eden, he was able to walk away from it and fall away from it. But I hope it's on some of you this morning, but where you and I are sitting in the Holy Ghost today, we can never get away from it. But yet, at the same time, our bodies are still under the curse of the dust of the earth. Now what God does at the coming of the new birth and whenever the transformation begins in the soul, then God actually becomes a new creation, but he leaves it in the same old temple, a new creation in you, because it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But he leaves it in the same old temple. Now the temple is still under the curse of the dust. And we know that in the beginning that everything that God had made, he made it with the potential to be able to reproduce itself. So the characteristics and the traits of every seed that would have existed in the creation of God but have to have the capability to be able to live, survive, and thrive in a perfect condition of the earth. They would also have to have an element of degree of change in their status, knowing that the earth would fall under man's dominion. If not, all the animals, all botany life, everything would fall once the earth was tilted on its axis and there would be temperature change upon the earth. So God made in the ability, they've got a scientific word for it in the genetic makeup of a plant, that it has the ability under certain things when conditions will change, that God made a variance by creation inside the makeup of this plant. death, just like you have it as a child of God. You are made to where you can walk in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're able to feed on great revelation of things of God, and yet at the same time you can walk so low it seems like God ain't nowhere around you. It's in your spiritual makeup by your genetic code given to you by God. Lord have mercy, I wish somebody preached with me this morning. It's the same way in plant life. Now you know, you take certain plants, you take the crepe myrtle for instance, which does very, very well in zone 4 and zone 5, but through the ability of man by being able to migrate and move things around, man has learned that if he can move certain plants over in even to another zone. Now you take like crepe myrtles, initially they was not here, but they begin to merge from Georgia and from South Carolina and begin to bring them over a little bit closer and closer to the cold climate. It's the same thing with warmer plants, which thrive better in a cooler atmosphere, but yet man has learned by being able to gradually there, and it's like a degree of variableness that is in each one of these plants that will begin to modify and change. Now man, of course, by science, he looks at this and he calls it evolution, but we look at it and realize it is a degree of variance and tolerance that God puts in it. It's in all creation. As it is in the stars, it is in the planets, it is in the planetary lineup, so is it in the church of the living God. The church is made to where it can survive and thrive right in the midst of revival and things are going good, but the church is also made where it can survive and all hell is going on against it. It's in the grace of God that's given to the spiritual genetic makeup of a child of God. But yet at the same time, do we prefer the valleys? I don't. I like the mountaintops a whole lot better than I did the valley. I'd much rather shout and pout. I'd much rather be happy than I would sad. I don't like sadness myself. Maybe some of you all love depression. I've never dealt with it that much myself, but I certainly don't want nothing to do it. I'd much rather be so happy my cup is running over than sitting like this and my cup has nothing in it. Praise the Lord. But yet God makes us so that we have that ability to be able to vary, because that is life under the curse or act of the fall. Oh my, thank God for His grace. But now what He does when the new birth comes, and it throws this body in subjection to the Word. So the Holy Ghost does not rebirth the flesh yet, but He wants to bring it subject. As we looked at it last time when the Holy Ghost came, it began to submit their bodies under the control of the Holy Ghost, even though their bodies were not yet born again. So they go running out of the upper room, screaming, shouting, hollering, acting like idiots, Brother Branham said, acting like maniacs, Brother Branham said, jumping, frothing at the mouth, carrying on like a bunch of wild people. Is that right? And yet at the same time, their flesh went a bit more born again than us, and neither is yours this morning. But yet it is an overflow from your cup in your soul that brings the body in subjection. So God, by the coming of the new birth, showing exactly what is going to happen, the Holy Ghost rested upon the soul, and it began by that same work to bring their bodies subject to the Word. So their body's going to praise in God and shouting and speaking in tongues. What's God doing? He's showing that the older brother is with him always. Now the older brother is not yet redeemed, but in God's intent and purpose, the very image of the older brother being redeemed was foreshadowed by God taking his own human body from the earth. This is my part of the earth, and from this part of the earth I will redeem the rest. You are with me always. Now remember, even though you have not received your glorified body, Jesus' glorified body on the right hand of the throne of God, hallelujah, is a foreshadow that yours is on its way. Him, oh, thank God. He is not a theophany. He is not an angel. But He took that glorified body, and you are with Him by representation. Oh, my, don't you love Him? Notice this now in Melchizedek. He said, look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body. I know we looked at this, but I want to read them to you again. It throws this body in subjection to God. Hallelujah. He that's born of God does not commit sin. He cannot sin. Therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now remember, we're talking about the soul that cannot sin. There you are. It throws your body subject. All you have to say, well, if I could quit drinking, if I could just do this, just get in Christ and it's all gone. Because your body is subject to the Spirit. Not born of it, but subject to the Spirit. It's no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead. They are dead. Your sins are buried in baptism and you are a new creation in Christ, and your body becoming subject to that Spirit to try to live the right kind of life. And then when you become subject to that Spirit, it throws your whole being subject to that Spirit. And that Spirit is nothing in the world but this seed word made manifest or quickened, hallelujah, made alive. And when the Bible said don't do this, the body quickly turns to it. There is no question. Why? You're subject. You're subject. What is it? The earnest of the resurrection. This body will be raised up because it's already started. Amen. It was one subject to sin and mire and corruption, but now it's got the earnest. It's turned heavenly. Now that's the earnest that we're going in the rapture. It's the earnest. Oh, Brother Doggy, if I could just be sure. If I just know, look at your body. Is your body being made to obey the word by the power of an endless life under the order of Melchizedek? Or is your body your ruler? That'll tell you if you're going or not. Again, the rising of the sun, what does it do? It quickens the mortal body. This mortal body that we live in, it quickens it. In other words, it brings it to life. Now, God, of course, knowing that it would come this way and having his attributes in himself from the foundation of the world, and God scattered as it was down through time. But God said, let there be, let there be, let there be. The prophet said in God's power to transform the people, read the Bible and they get it confused. And they think that God's repeating himself. He said, no, you just don't understand it. Whenever God was saying, let there be, he was sowing his seeds. And there wasn't anything even there yet, but God was sowing his seeds. Now God knew, of course, that Satan would do what he did. He knew that the majority of the world would do what they would do, that most of them would be lost, they would perish. So God projected his own attributes from the very beginning right down through the stream of time. Knowing what they would do, knowing they were a part of him, they were his ecclesia or his elect. That they would be baptized right back into that mystical body, and Satan would never be able to pull them out of the economy of God. So God subjected the earth and everything that was in it. Now remember, the universe was not subjected in whole. The universe was not subjected to the fall of man. Only man's dominion, this little blue dot that hangs out here in the universe, that was the only thing that was subjected. Even the moon itself and the sun and many of the stars that we're able to look at from the earth itself, they have not been subjected to the fall. Only that which man's body was taken out of. So when the man's body, if the man's body would have come from the moon, then when the man fell, the moon would have fell with the man. If the man's body would have been taken from the sun, then the sun would have fallen and lost a great bit of its power. But man's body was taken from the earth. And when man's body falls, then God curses what for the man's sake? The earth. Why? That's where he come from. Notice in Romans chapter 8 verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. So a hope was left for the creation that the Redeemer would bring it back. Now the Creator, by divine sovereignty, he subjected it by reason of his own great good and purpose. But he did it with what? Not to destruction, but in hope. Now I hope this don't confuse you, but we know that the Bible actually it says that God is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. God eventually will annihilate or allow to be annihilated the lost. They will cease to exist. I'm glad. I'm glad they don't have to go to an eternal lake of fire. Everlasting, yes, not eternal. Praise the Lord. He will act. actually annihilate and bring them to a place even the very thoughts of the wicked shall perish. And yet people think we're crazy and don't believe in the grace and the love of God because we preach in predestination and they preach in eternal hell. That a person lives 16 years of their life, they go out and got drunk last night, and they're punished in eternity for 16 years of life. Where's your understanding of love and grace? But what will God do eventually? And we know, of course, there will be degrees of punishment, as there will be degrees of reward. And a person, a boy or girl, that's lived 16 years of their life, there's no way they're going to be punished to the degree of temperature or time range of what a deceiving preacher would be. But God and every one of them will bring all of them to a complete end, and they will cease to exist. Well, you say, I can't stand the thought of that. My family, my this or that. That's because you're still in the mortal realm. But when you step over from your body change into the eternity, if your flesh brother is not there, your flesh mother is not there, or your flesh sister is not there, you will finally come to the realization that you are back into the original family you were born into anyway. And that even though they might have been your mother, your father, your daughter in mortality, you have been rebirthed back into immortality, and you're not of the same family no more. Amen. Heaven couldn't be heaven without that happening to us, friends. Now, he projected this in hope, knowing that it would be raised again. Notice in verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Notice, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, what's going on is that the whole creation is groaning, knowing. Now, of course, many of the sinners out here, they don't want to believe in God. They want to choose to live their own way. Many of them are not groaning at all. They have no understanding of them. No comprehension of what we're even talking about of the plan of redemption. But for those who have been rebirthed by the Spirit of God and their souls have actually been touched by heaven, and yet their bodies are still earthbound and they're feeling the effects of this curse on the earth, we know there's another world. All the animals, all the trees, all the flowers, all the bodily life, it all is groaning and crying. Who's not groaning and crying? Man who don't want to admit he needs a help from God. But now watch what Paul says. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. And the word bondage is slavery. The condition of a slave. Oh my. But last night, Brother Donnie, you were saying we were so drunk on the Holy Ghost. We are.
Amen.
One part of us. And the other part's totally sober. Totally carnal, totally unredeemed, or so far anyway. My, can people, the children of God, soar in heavenly places? Oh my, you got to do this. You realize you can be so blessed by the Spirit of God. You don't get out them doors till somebody will say something to you on the parking lot. And already you're just, man, from way up there in the heavenlies, you're right down underneath the pavement of the parking lot, nearly. You owe me $50. Oh, I never knew you knew $50. You got my parking place. I sat right there. What are you doing sitting there, William Smith? That ain't your pew. Your name ain't on there. I couldn't even get in the service because you got my seat. Don't tell me we're not yet carnal. Well, Gloria, you're getting quiet on me now. Now, a while ago, I was talking so fast, I didn't give you no room to say amen. Now I'm spacing up a little bit. I expect some reply from you folks. Brother Rim says it this way in demonology. He said, if a man is really born of the Spirit of God, he is in and out, back and forth, out here yonder in the world, out here. No, sir. You're not a cucklebur one day and a grain of wheat the next day. God don't have that in the field. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you're a Christian from that time until you go away. And then you're immortal with God. That's right, if you're in the church. Now let's talk about the death side. How could a person on that estate in that kind of condition ever be sick? Because your body is not yet redeemed. Now watch your older brother now. Your body is not redeemed, no matter how much, how good you are, how saintly, how holy, how much Holy Spirit. That's only your soul, and your soul is not completed yet. It's just got the blessing. The promise of God, which is the earnest. Now notice in the inside has already been changed, started moving by the presence of God. But it's got the earnest of your salvation. But now if we have no earnest of a resurrection, no divine healing, I have no assurance for nothing to prove that there is a resurrection. So the soul stays under constant intoxication. Wake up drunk, go to bed drunk, during trials drunk, no, just drunk all the time. But not this. This can get mad. Now I'll change from Happy Valley now because we're all angels here. I know this. So I'll project this to the people on the internet. Their flesh, your internet people.
Oh my, come on now.
Can get angry. Say things that you wish you hadn't said. Pout. Glory. Get sick. Diseases. Can a Holy Ghost filled person have a demon of cancer living in their body at the same time? And their soul be so drunk on the Holy Ghost and so saturated with the power of God, and demons living in their physical body multiplying themselves and taking their human life. Why? The older brother ain't redeemed. How many older brothers have we rolled up here? How many more will we roll up here before we leave this world? Did it touch the prodigal? Not at all. They went right into the presence of the Father. Now watch this. In Romans 8:22, Paul says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." So this word here is actually literally groaning with birth pangs. Birth pang, P-A-N-G-S. Literally groaning with birth pangs. So the whole creation is groaning with birth pangs. Every part of the creation. Now we don't have the ability, of course, to hear it, but God hears it. What are they doing? In a sense, they are praying. In a sense, they are groaning. They're asking for an intercessor. And the intercessor has already come and done the kinsman redeemer work. But they're waiting for the final stage of man. And when God removes the curse from man's body, it is a sign that the earth is coming back to the eighth day. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice this. Jesus himself, when he came to the earth, he allowed his own human body to be subjected to death itself. Now notice in verse 23, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We within ourselves, we groan within ourselves. Notice he's not saying the body groans, but we groan. Where's the resource of your groaning? From within your soul. Within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. I love this word. The nature and condition of the true disciples in Christ, who by receiving the Spirit of God into their souls, become sons of God. It also includes the blessed state. Look for in the future life after the visible return of Christ from heaven. Not only our souls in sonship, but our bodies. Eternal life in a human body. You say that's not possible. It is totally possible. It ain't impossible, it's a promise. Notice Brother Ram said, oh, don't you see it? All creation is groaning, said Paul. Everything is groaning. Look at the trees, how they struggle. Look at the flowers, how they struggle for life. How many of y'all have miracle growed the weeds in your garden so far this year? What? Any of y'all miracle growed the weeds and the thistles and the thorns around your place? Really? Do y'all have them around your place? Really? Did you go to Lowe's and buy them? Evergreen, Home Depot? Will they outdo your flowers? Most of the time, yes. Praise the Lord. Ma, what a beautiful flower the rose is. And why would God incorporate thorns in such a beautiful flower? Notice he said, look at the trees, how they struggle. Look at the flowers, how they struggle for life. Just for the frost to tear them down. So Brother Jim, we water them and we arrange them and we assort them and we pick the colors that will go together that we want this particular season. Oh my, this is a beautiful one here. And this has got a yellow stripe with a little fuchsia thing on the outside. That would go so beautiful with this purple and white striped petunia. And then we'll take a little bit of alyssum to be able to go on the side. And we'll, oh, it'd be so pretty. And you labor and labor. And if you miss 2-3 days watering them, you go out there and say, what in the world happened to you? What in the world? And if they make it through the entire season, you know what will happen? Frost will come and kill them. Now, if it is a perennial, then many of them, what will it do? It'll cut them off right at the top of the ground. They go back down in the ground, and the life will come back up next spring. Why? It is a perpetual life. Because botany life is still under the curse of man's body. Oh, Lord, help us. Oh, my. Look at this, how they struggle for life just for the frost to tear them down. Look at the trees, how they struggle to hold their branches out to sing glories unto God. You don't hear it, but the trees in these mountains out here, they're singing glory to God. Hallelujah to Him in the highest. And their little leaves are just waving in that wind. Glory to God. Glory to God. But before we know it, summer will be gone and the frost will move in. And before one frost ever hits in the latter part of August and the first part of September, they'll start falling. You say, oh no, no. The big beautiful walnut, one of the last to come in the spring, one of the first to fall off in the fall. Before you know it, you'll look out there and say, oh, that big old tree. Look at that big majestic tree. How beautiful. Look at the locusts. How even in July, they'll start turning yellow. And a sadness strikes your heart. Why? You don't want it to go this fast. The winter was so hard and so difficult. You want to say, last longer. Please, last longer. You know what you're longing for? You are built with this varying degrees inside of your soul. Your soul was burst under the axis like this. Now, of course, us men would want the world to believe getting old only affects women. They're the only ones that it bothers. Come on, you big macho pizza belly outfits, be honest. As we get older, wrinkles and hair, it either turns loose or turns gray. Just according to the allotment of life. You're going to tell me you like that? I'm going to tell you that you're lying to me. You can't reach down and grab a hold of some man you was used to and you was young. You can reach down and grab a hold of something and pick it up. Now you just reach down and your back goes out. So my goodness, I never even got a hold of it. You're just going down and your back's sitting off for me, pal. Right. Why? You're out of the curse. You're not where you should be. Amen. Oh, people want to say, but I take vitamin C and vitamin D and vitamin Y and vitamin O, B, Y, O, C, O, T. And Brother Donnie, I've got this herb and I've got this and that and the other. I don't care what you take. You can take 3,789 herbs every day and not eat one bite of food. You're getting just as old, just as fast as all the rest of us are. You're not going to reverse the law of God. There's only one that can change this older brother, and it ain't vitamin A. It ain't an herb. Oh, my. Oh, this Revelation chapter 5. Yeah, listen to it while you ought to listen to it. But now they've been all those years until now. He said, now we have the earnest of the inheritance. Oh my, my, what do we have? The evidence that God lives. The evidence that God is with us. We have the evidence that God has not forsaken us. Praise God. That we are His and He is ours because we, in our bodies, we now tabernacle the Holy Spirit of God that cries out, Abba, Father. And there's nothing that can ever take that away. We're anchored in Christ. The trees don't have it. Lord Jesus. Nature does not have it. But yet we are still groaning with them. Because as yet we haven't received the fullness of our adoption. But we have the earnest of it that we picked up from the things of the world. And now become sons and daughters of God. What kind of people should we be? But oh, when we think of that, think of it. Now we have the eternal, or the earnest rather, our spirits groaning for the full adoption. Believe it or not, the oak was made in the beginning to where its leaves would never turn. But God, in speaking the ability of the oak when it stood up like this, had to create the element of 22.5 degrees variation, so when the earth would tilt, the earth somehow within itself, the tree within itself, would be able to put forth reds, oranges, and the beautiful hues of fall. Where does it come from? Scientists still don't know to this day. You know how it is. We live here on the edge of the Smoky Mountains. Sometimes the falls are beautiful. And when we have a lot of rain, they say, well, it's because they've got so much rain. That's what makes it beautiful. Then the next year you have a whole lot of rain, it ain't near as pretty. So there goes that theory. Well, it's because of the calcium of the so-and-so. Just be honest, you're like the rest of us, you don't know. But all we know is when we see it, it's a sign. What? Oh, it's so beautiful, so beautiful. Yeah, but you know as well as I do, there's a sad something that comes with that beauty. Winter's coming right behind it. Winter's coming right behind it. A man and woman get married. My, they're so happy. They love one another. They get married maybe in their 20s or whatever more. And they get married and they want a family. And he gets a job and they go to work. And children come along. Before you know it, she goes to the doctor. And she's been diagnosed with cancer. He goes to the doctor and been diagnosed. You say, what happened to those promises? All those hopes. Dashed. And he buries her. Or she buries him. And we go and put our arms around one another. God understands, brother. God understands, sister. God bless you. God bless you. There's hope. There's hope. There's another life. Yeah, I know. I know. And you cry, and you labor, and you feel the pains and the agony. And you're only 40-some years old, 50-some years old. Can you imagine the earth? Yes, as she felt the agony of the flood, as the waters came upon her. Yes. When the dinosaurs that was trapped out here at Gray, and they found a turtle skeleton out there a few years ago the size of a Volkswagen. Beavers, all kinds of things that they never even knew existed in this part of the world. And they were running, 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 trying to get away from the destruction.
Oh my.
Brother Bobby Hayden gave me a piece of slate several years ago that come down from a coal mine, down in the heart of the earth, 90 feet below the surface. And yet on this piece of stone is a perfect fern. Imprint. Me and Carol sitting in South Africa in a gold mine several years ago, riding a trolley down underneath the ground. And they brought it to a stop and said, now everybody look up. And there on the roof was a dinosaur track embedded in rock. I couldn't keep feeling sorry for that poor old guy. And I thought, poor fella. He was running away from something and got down there and got down on his back. And there he got, and the sediment made the imprint and left his foot track right there, and it turned into stone. Why? The earth has more scar after scar. Not only has she bore what's been, but she's got enough to know this. She's fixing to get it again. And this time man would destroy her if it was not for God's mercy. Oh, glory to God. Notice this, Brother Aaron says, we're waiting for the fullness of adoption. This will take place when? At the resurrection. Friends, no matter what we try to call it, manifested sons, we can call it all whatever we want to call it. We are not going to bring this to pass into the resurrection. That's when our bodies will be changed from these vile creatures that we are. And we'll have a body like His own glorious body. For we shall see Him as He is. And He's not a theophany. He's a human. Watch this in the breach. Now these things are groaning in our bodies. Did you ever notice a tree? How it struggles for life. You know, there's one thing I love about the prophet and his message. That God gave him an insight into trees. Be honest and face the facts. We walked right by them all of our life. We never even thought nothing about this. We never thought nothing about them struggling. We never thought nothing. But God is a God of nature. And he opened his prophet's eyes to bring all of us in the continuity of where we came from. So you walk by now and you look at it and you say, poor old tree. You're beautiful now, but in 3 months' time you'll be standing here stripped off naked of your leaves. And the winters will freeze you and the frost will come upon you.
But there's coming a day, tree.
Hang on. I'm a tree hugger. Hang on, trees. Hang on. I'm coming to my place. And I promise I'll bring you with me. Notice, he said, you notice an animal, how in death, how it struggles. You ever kill a deer, your brothers, turkey, slaughter a pig, cow, whatever more? It just walk up there, go ahead. I know you're going to eat me. Go ahead. That's fine. I like it. It struggles. I hunted in Africa years ago and saw how those animals so struggle. Nothing even compared to here. How that when you shoot them and they run and they struggle and they kick and kick until the last movement of life is gone. Why? They're struggling to live. And they don't even have a soul. Lord Jesus. You notice the human being, everything in nature is groaning. We in ourselves are groaning. We know there's something wrong. We see from these verses that something has been lost, both to man and earth. Yes. Creation of all type has lost something. We see from the inspired word, it's groaning for some reason. Something's lost and it's groaning. It's trying to get back to its original condition. Yes. Can you imagine the earth as Noah floated over the top of it? The trees were buried. All the sediment of the earth being settled and the rocks being tore all to pieces. The human bodies, the mass of humanity, the stench coming up from all of that death. And the earth was bathed in this corruption of rottenness. I imagine Noah was the only one that breathed a sigh of relief when the waters began to abate. Because not only did God allow rains to come down, but the scripture says the fountains of the deep, the water table, begin to erupt and the earth begin to annihilate itself. From within its own being, she began to belch out billions and trillions of gallons of water. How sad she must have felt. Now her beauty has changed. The trees are drowning. The flowers are rotting. Human beings are gurgling and struggling to live. And one man and his family floats above it all. Amen. For about a year she stays submerged. Buried under this conglomeration of sin. Noah finally sends out a dove. Hallelujah. And she comes back with an olive leaf in her mouth. All the animals on board. Noah, his wife, his sons, their wives, they must have breathed such a sigh of relief. But if we could have only heard the earth. All the seeds had been misplaced and washed around. You tell me. With the earth turning in total chaos. The seeds being washed everywhere. How was it the seeds of the desert didn't wind up over here? How was it the seeds that was here didn't wind up over in Saudi Arabia? Even in this cataclysmic change of chaos. God still was working. Lord have mercy, children. Sometimes I've been under such flood and you have too. You think, Lord have mercy. But don't worry, the seed will always remain in the soul. He's always got a way to keep the seed right where it needs to be. Oh my. Would you imagine, he says, Someone falling from the earth down into a deep pit. Somewhere was struggling, climbing, pulling. They by some means must get out of this pit. They're not in their original state. Frantically, they're screaming. They're clawing the walls, making a noise. Now a human being falls into a pit. They're screaming, they're clawing, they're begging, they're doing everything they can. They're not worried about the pride, they're not worried about the prestige. They're trying to get out. They got dirt under their fingernails, they got to hide, tore off their hands, they're trying to get out. Why? They're not in their original state. Watch how he likens this now to man. They must by some means get out of this pit. They're not in the original state. Frantically, they're screaming. They're clawing the walls, making a noise. They're groaning because they want to get back to their original state. That's when a person is struck with disease, aches, and pain. One time they wasn't that way, but they're groaning. Why?
They're not right.
If you're sitting here today with depression, you're sitting here today and you don't have the joy of the Lord in your heart, that within itself makes you miserable. But then in the state that you're in, knowing that that's not what God wanted for you to be, it only compounds the miserableness that you're already feeling. Does it not? So you're frantically clawing and you're trying to reach out. God, what's wrong? What's happened? Lord, I remember I used to be so happy. I used to be a child of God that had such joy. God, what's happened? Lord, I'm not that way no more. Help me. And you're clawing frantically trying to get out of that pit. And you try to climb out and demons come and kick you back in. And you claw and scream. There's something wrong and they're groaning. Trying to get back to where they was when they had health. When nature and people, or the Bible said groaning, it shows there's something. They're not in their ought to be condition. They've fallen from somewhere. Of course, we know what it was. Eternal life they've fallen from. They lost the claims on eternal life by the fall of Adam and Eve, who fell from eternal life to death in the Garden of Eden and brought all nature under death to them. A tree never died before Adam. An animal wouldn't die before Adam. And there's only one thing that cannot die, and that's God. Because He's eternal. Can I have a few more minutes? Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward. And the word eastward is in the antiquities. Ancient. Eastward. It's not just necessarily just a direction. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there He put the man whom He had formed. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. Notice now, a river went out of Eden. Eden was a state. The Garden of Eden was a city. I'll say it that way so you can relate to it. So it'd be like Johnson City, Tennessee. So Eden was like the state, and the Garden of Eden was the headquarters of all of Eden. Notice, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pishon, that which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Bdellum and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is which goes toward the east of Assyria. Now if science by research has not been able to find where the Garden of Eden was, tell me how a man could, which was not a scientist. God's caught him up. Moses is not speculating. He's not surmising. He's a prophet in the fourth dimension. Can you imagine Moses in this realm of vision? He watches the Lord God as he forms man from the dust of the earth. And like any prophet would see their visions, and same with Brother Branham. Your sister so-and-so, you're from 209 Spring Street. You live in Louisville, Kentucky. The doctor come to you yesterday, heavy set guy, had on glasses, told you this, 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 read your report. Same thing Moses is doing. Moses is not speculating, it's not surmising. Glory to God. But Moses is carried up by vision. He's actually seeing geographical places. He's seeing names, as any prophet can do. So it can see names and road signs. And he looks over and through this whole land, and he sees a river coming down through water in this Garden of Eden, divide into four heads, and God shows him each name as a tributary as it divides, and he shows him attributes of, oh Lord, he shows him attributes of that land. Why? This is God's way of making himself known by prophets. We've got one man's word for this. One. Jeremiah don't verify this. Ezekiel don't verify it. Jonah don't verify it. Habakkuk don't verify it. Jonah don't verify it. You believe this one, man? God bless you. Notice. Lord Jesus.
And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden.
Now you see, the man was not actually made in the Garden of Eden. He was brought to the Garden of Eden. Now listen, what for? The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden. And this is the reason. To dress it and to keep it. Now, I don't want to bust your future home balloon this morning. But in eternity, we are going to work. But we won't sweat, and we won't labor, and we won't get tired. Now, if every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building today would seek God for their vocation and let God place you as God placed Adam, you'd eliminate so many problems in your life. Well, my mama wants me to be in my daddy. Forget your mom and forget your daddy. You better go to God and say, God, where you want me? You want me in Eden? You want me in the Garden of Eden? You want me in Assyria? Where do you want me, Lord? You'll save yourself a lot of problems. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, can you imagine? This man is in the eternity, as we'd say, the perfection. And yet he's working. Now, he's not planting the garden, but he's dressing it. But you see, the word Eden means pleasure. So it's not that out of the man alive. That's after the fall. It was more like this. Oh, I love this. Beautiful. Absolutely perfect. Except this one's plastic. Beautiful. Not one drop of sweat ever broke around his brow. He was not toiling. He was not laboring. But he was having pleasure. You see, those of you who have in your mind that God has up a social security system in heaven, and that we're all going to get there and live for eternity and rock on heaven's porch with rocking chairs and do nothing all of our life, you need to reread the book. We're going to live. We're going to work. We're going to enjoy. So this place was put there because Adam ain't just, so what do I do now? I'm bored. I've been here for 10,000 years. I am so bored. There's nothing to do.
He had plenty to do. As you will. We'll live. We'll work. Some of y'all done changed your mind about going to heaven this morning. Why? Because you're relating working under the curse. Look at how this man worked. No sweat. No toil. No labor. So he's dressing it. God done all the hard work for him. He done created it by his word. So he just moves around from tree to tree. And you know, you kind of got to watch this corn. You got to keep it away from that squash. Now it'll wrap around it, you know. Get over there, back to your... Yeah, there you go. That's good. Now I'm a son of God. I'm positioned, placed in here. Now you stay right there. And you stay right there. And then behind him comes up this big lion. Big old black maned lion. But he don't growl. He don't snarl. Just... like your little cat does. How you doing today, Leo? Then over here comes that Siberian tiger and another. They're just as gentle as a kitten. And the great big birds of paradise. The great big birds of paradise flew down on his shoulder and landed on his shoulder. And then all of a sudden you hear something go boom, 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 boom. T-Rex. I'm not making this up, children. The dinosaurs in the paradise of God. But now, Brother Donnie, science proves to us this earth by carbon 14 dating is millions and billions. The same scientist who took some of the volcanic rock which come up out of Mount St. Helens and carbon dated it at several hundred billion years old. And that's what you're basing your faith on? So it comes up out of the earth in the 80s, and whenever it was at Mount St. Helens erupted, this latest big eruption, you remember it in your lifetime, in the 80s, and that carbon 14 dated it, and it's millions or billions, I forget what it was, old, and now they're dating us. I said, uh-oh. A little bit of embarrassment there on the side. We must have got that wrong somehow. Yeah, big time. Let me find a place if I can to bring us out of this garden. Man's idea of having nothing to do in eternity is contrary to God's original plan and format for his first man. So how big was this garden? We don't know for sure. We knew that it lay in the land of Egypt. Near Ethiopia, near Assyria, in the crescent of the earth, the place of civilization. The beginning of man's civilization. So man went through and just dressed and, you know, it just maybe, well, relate to you this way, so I understand, just took his little pocket snippers and just snipping around. And that is nice. Man never moved no trees till the woman come along and then she wanted stuff moved around and then he said, man moved oak trees. We move oak furniture, don't we, brothers? Lord have mercy. I'm right now. Oh, my. So in this garden was health, happiness, peace. But man somehow still needed to sleep. And his diet was real high stuff. Fruits of the trees. And every day in the evening time, the man would go to yawning, which is strange. The man would... Oh, well, it's just about church time. You see, Adam wasn't just a Sunday morning guy. Adam went to church at night, too. Oh, Brother Bram said he'd worship in the cathedral. You understand what he's doing? This garden is his church. It's his temple. So he dresses it and he's watching. It ain't going to be long. Father's coming down. Let me move this slice thing here. Set that microphone around. I believe I had that over there. Didn't I move it? Yeah, that's better. It looks better. There's one book there. Hey, now you shouldn't have left this book right here. No, that's not in order. Throw it through there and let's see. Dress that up over here. Let's just go. You hear him?
It got louder. All of a sudden the bushes started. Lord God. And the voice said, "My son, have you enjoyed your stay on earth today?" Glory to God. Lord, children, I long for that day. So man worked, no sweating, no fatigue, no tiredness. And he got sleepy. Remember in the sixth dimension around the curtain of time, they said, "We don't eat here, nor do we sleep." But they said, "We go back to earth and take up bodies, and there we eat." They never said about sleeping. So I'm not sure if we do, if we don't. But Adam slept. Papa would come down to lay him down. That's it. That daddy, I love you. I love you too. You don't know what you mean to me, son. I love you so much. You're my expression of my own being. You're the beginning of the end of my journey. I will end up in this form. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it. The word dress means to, is abod, to work, to serve, to labor, to work for another. And keep it, shamar, to keep, guard, observe, have charge of. So the garden is to produce everything by the potentials that God made in his genetics. But he leaves an element of degree to give man employment. To give man employment. So he makes it within that. Sure, it will do it on its own. But it needs man implementation in order to make it work properly. Let's stand. We'll pick it up next time. Brother Bam says in Satan's Eden, paragraph 41. And I'll leave this with you. Finally, he got it all made, finally arrived with its headquarters on the earth in a beautiful spot laying east of Eden called the Garden of Eden. God made the world's headquarters in the Garden of Eden in Egypt. Right at the east end of the garden was the headquarters. And over the whole situation, he put his son and his son's wife over it all. That's right. That's what God did. He put them in full control. They could speak to the winds. It would cease to blow. Speak to the tree, it would move from here to there. The lion and the wolf fed together, and the lamb laid down with them. There was no evil. Perfect peace, perfect harmony, everything in perfection when God had it under his control. And notice, he had his word, his world. He had it in operation. Everything coming, everything eating, vegetation. Nothing to die, nothing to be ruined, nothing to be spoiled. It was just perfect. And over it all, he placed his beloved children, his son and his daughter, husband and wife, to control it. God was so satisfied, he rested from all his works. And at the seventh day, and hallowed the seventh day Sabbath for him. Because God looked it all over. After he had been 6,000 years in molding it and fixing it, making it into existence, putting the mountains up and making the volcanics push the mountains and things had taken place and the eruptions and dried it off. And he fixed it in a way that he had it. And it was a beautiful place. Praise God. Can't you see why we've got to enter back into the millennium again? Who's it going to be? Adam and his wife again. Then it was in singular form. One Adam, one Eve. But in the last days, it'll be Jesus with his Eve. Amen. There we will be, and the millennium temple will be built. Ezekiel 44 through 48. The sun will arise with healing in his wings, not only naturally, but the nations will be healed.
as the older brother is made subject to the Holy Ghost now, those in that's unconverted in Psalms 2, I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. They will be made to come up to the Feast of Tabernacles to worship. If they don't worship, the sons of God will hold the rain from the crops. There we will be living in glorified bodies. Yes, sir. Eternal life in human bodies. Yes, praise God. Adam and Eve, what are we doing? Keeping and dressing the garden. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You love him, children, with all your hearts. Oh, praise God. Let's bow our heads together. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. One day the heavens and the earth, this word verse, will be totally and completely fulfilled. The purpose in heaven, the purpose on the earth, will now roll back in this spot called time. And time will blend back into eternity. And then John said, I saw the new city, the new Jerusalem, descending from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And then we'll pass from time and we'll blend back into eternity again. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And many would say today, by signifying in the raising of your hand, Lord, I want to be there. I got both mine up, Lord. I don't want to miss it for nothing in this world. Please, Lord, don't let me. If anything would ever start creeping into my life that's contrary to your word, help me to see it, Lord. If I ever get cold or indifferent, or I ever leave the word, I ever start getting off into false things or error, correct me, Lord Jesus. Help me to maintain a place of willingness to let the Spirit teach me. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, friends, thank God that seventh morning dawned. It had to come to a halt. But remember, the seventh morning is fixing to dawn again. There'll be no perversion of law. There'll be no politics. For Jesus will reign from Jerusalem. The law will go forth from Jerusalem. Oh my. What a time. What a time. Brother Brad, let's move down there just a little bit. Let's find this paragraph 47 in Satan's Eden. Also paragraph 62. It's right next to it in God's power to transform. Brother M said there was nothing like it. The great paradise of God. The great dinosaurs and whatever more. Crawling through it, and the great animals, no harm in them. They were as gentle as a little kitten. Had nothing at all, no sickness, not one disease germ on the earth. The great birds swinging from tree to tree, and Adam could call them by name, and they would fly upon his shoulders and coo to him. They'd coo to him. What a wonderful place God had. God's power to transform. He said, God's great economy. It's what we believe that we're headed back to. We're going back to that spot, that place where that seventh morning when God looked upon it and said, it's good. I'm pleased with it. Yeah. I'm glad I did it. Oh my goodness. If I can hear him say that about me. I'm glad, Donnie, I made you. What greater thing could be accomplished in our lives? That God could look at you when you draw your last breath and God could say, I'm so glad I made you. I loved you and you loved me. I'm glad I made you. Praise God. Sister Baker had to leave the service today. We want to remember her in prayer.
I wonder how many of you would like to be a better Christian, stronger, more like what the Lord wants you to be in your life. I certainly would. But Brother Donnie, you're a preacher. I've still got room to grow, go, because we're in God's presence. Can we just lay hands on one another, if you would, before I let you go here? Lord, children, don't be missing on that seventh morning. Remember, there'll be three categories of people on the dawn of that seventh morning. There'll be the bride and glorified bodies, the 144,000. There'll be there the Lord Jesus, the resurrected Christ. And there'll be the sinners who have not been changed. And if you're a foolish virgin, you totally miss the millennium. It would be unbecoming of God's nature to put you in the land of rest when you did not have rest in your soul here. The millennium is the consummation of answering to your seal of the living God. Your Holy Ghost ain't just to make you shout and make you feel good. It's your assurance you're going to be able to live in the millennium. Your experience of rest will place you on the seventh day. And glory to God. Lord, my heart rejoices today. I just feel like going over, Lord, and just sitting down in a corner, just crying. I know you'll bring it to pass. Father, I pray as these believers have their hands one upon the other that should strengthen each other. Strengthen them, Lord, as they pray for each other. Lord, no doubt there's folks that are sick and afflicted and have different things in their life they're dealing with. Would you help us today? We're still under the scars and blemishes of the curse of the earth. We're buried in our bodies. Our souls can be so intoxicated under the presence of God. And yet we can fight such depression and sickness and disease. We need you, Lord. Our soul has already moved into the eighth day. And our body ain't even in the seventh yet. Help us, Lord. We're not ashamed today to raise our hands to you and say, we need help, sir. We need courage. We need strength. We need healing. We need deliverance. We need your peace in our hearts, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray for Sister Baker today that you would help her, Lord. You see these needs in her body. May you move for her, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father,
Lord, you see the request that she has. Lord, as I read her letter there before service, wanting to express her needs and the things that doctors say this and that and the other that she has. But I thought about another doctor's report. Glory to God. That says, by your stripes, she is healed. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Lord, me and Brother Dale was talking about it last night before church. He said he'd heard Brother Tim Hume say it a few weeks ago. That when they beat you at the whipping post, it was not for our soul. It was for our healing. You could have went to the cross and died on the cross and our souls would have been saved. But you wanted us to be so complete in this life's journey, you let them beat you and tear the meat out of your back so we could be healed. Father, in Jesus' name, may the Spirit of God move for our sister. Lord Jesus, we believe we have the down payment in our souls. Our bodies are made subject to that power. Lord Jesus, may the quickening power quicken her body today. Lord Jesus, may she be healed. May every symptom of this leave her, Father. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. I'm kind of homesick for a country.
Can we sing it just before we go?
To which I'm never been before. No sad goodbyes. Up there will be spoken. And time won't matter.
Sweet.